part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. We do apologize there for that minor tech glitch, but we are back on. I do believe we do have a Sister Ellie May on the line. Sister Ellie May, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm super excited. You know, when you have a tech glitch, the moment everything connects, you feel like jumping up and down.
I'm glad it's finally working.
Indeed, indeed. I'm so happy as well, because this is a very important conversation that, you know, we ought to have. Even as adults, somewhere, somehow, we do get influenced by the things that we consume on our social media. So what more of the younger generation? But before we get into that, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we are very thankful that we have yet another opportunity to talk about our girl children and their lives, the pressures they face, and what it is that we would want them to be for your kingdom, for their salvation. So Lord, may you lead us and guide us as we discuss, so that which we share will bring salvation to someone. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. So, Sister Ellie May, we're speaking about all things social media influences on girls. Does it influence our young girls? Does social media, as well as media, because sometimes we tend to focus on the Twitters and the Facebook, we forgetting that even what we're watching on TV is actually media, you know, our Netflixes and stuff like that. So yes, does it have an influence on the children?
A huge influence, for your own information. Because most of our young people spend a lot of time tablet screens, mm-hmm. laptop screens, television screens. Mm-hmm. And since our focus is really the girl child, what are some of the influences, the pressures that they get from the media? One of them is you have to be slim. Mm. What's your weight? You're eating too much. You have to stop. Can't you see? Well, they're watching and they see the celebrated women. And they look themselves in the mirror, they can easily get to a place where they're like, there's something wrong with me. Mm. Because beautiful women on television are tall. Beautiful women on television are slim.
Yep.
Beautiful women on television are small-chested. Beautiful women on television have hips, they have a butt. I mean, they dress a certain way, their hair is a certain way, they wear certain clothes. So the media places a certain expectation, silently, quietly. No, media will never tell you should wear this or you should look like this. But they flood you with certain images to a place where you find now some of our girls now suffer from anorexia.
Yep.
They eat and they go and throw up because they are afraid they will get too fat.
Yep.
They will not look beautiful. They will not be trendy. And that's undue pressure or expectations that come from the media. Mm. Fashionable, you have to dress a certain way, you have to carry your bag a certain way, you have to walk a certain way, you have to use certain beauty products. That's a lot of pressure, because not everybody was created equal, and not everyone has the same genes where you can stay slim. Some people were slim. I'm one of those who don't struggle with weight. Not because I do anything.
Mm.
But I just have the gene that keeps me slim.
Mm.
So the media has very high expectations for girls.
True.
And because of the media, some girls suffer from very low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they measure themselves against what they see on television, they find themselves wanting. So they rule themselves out that I'm not beautiful, I'm not tall, I'm not this, I'm not that, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And you know, when you're speaking about that, there was a time, I think now it's getting the weight issue. Now it's getting better. Sometimes it's, when I look at it, it's a little better than it what it was. There was a time where it was horrible. You know, you had to, every ad that we're seeing on TV, the person was slim, well, prim and proper. Their cheeks, you know, it's like they're doing you know,
roll the cheeks all the time, even when they're cooking in the kitchen,
you know,
even when they're sleeping.
I woke up like this. I'm like, how do you wake up like that? Because when you wake up, your hair is disheveled, you know, and then it went,
you sleep at all?
You know, and then with now, it's a matter of, as much as some, they actually do embrace a bigger nyana body, like just smaller, bigger. But now it has turned into something else. But still, those influences are there. And there was a video, Sister Elime, that was making rounds sometime here in South Africa on social media, where this child, the girl child, was saying that, me, when a boy comes to take me out for a date, they must do 1, 2, 3, 4. They must have, and even the adults are like, hey, boy, this child, where, like the person must have a
car.
Yes, they must pay the bill. I'm not going to do that. And I was like, this is what the influences of social media is doing. And, but in turn, I was like, wait. What influences does the home have on this child? Because as much as we may point at the phone and stuff, but even us as parents, the things that we say, the lifestyles that we tell our children that they must expect out there, can we do harm with that as parents in our families, or our influences are the right ones?
I believe the family is causing its own share of harm on the girl child.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, and I'll speak on the African culture because that's what I'm familiar with. Generally, a girl child is taught not to be assertive. I think we struggle between being assertive and being aggressive. Because I remember even when I was growing up, don't be like a boy. Don't talk so loud. Wait for your turn. You are not a boy. So there's this expectation that as a girl, you are supposed to be timid. You are supposed to be just gentle. You're supposed to be agreeable. You are not supposed to be too driven. Don't be a go-getter. You are a girl. Tone down. Don't be ambitious. You know, you're driven too much. Wait for your turn. Wait to be told what to do. Don't be too opinionated. Don't argue. Don't be bossy. Don't be controlling. And I think these interfere with a girl's ability to develop leadership skills. Because if I can't express my thoughts because someone will think I'm controlling, and if I can't step up and do what I think I need to do because someone will say I'm too driven or I'm too ambitious. I remember my mom even used to say, who can marry a girl who's aggressive like this? Guys will be scared of you. I remember my mom said, guys will be scared of you.
Yeah.
You need to tone down.
Ish.
And they meant well.
Yeah.
But in the process, we are crushing the girl's leadership skills. We are crushing the girl's ambition. Because in life, let's face it, Zah, you have to be driven for you to achieve, especially in this day and age. You have to express your opinion. Otherwise, you always be riding on other people's opinions.
True.
You have to be assertive. Otherwise, you'll be a doormat. The family, I believe, is the one that's most responsible for killing girls' ability and desire to lead. To achieve. I remember one time, very funny, maybe because it was a long time ago, in the 80s, like 86, I was telling my mom, I was teaching then. I was like, I want to buy a car.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, you want to buy a car for what? That's for me.
Yeah.
She said, to go where? To go. She said, that's why some girls don't get married. A girl should not have a house before they get married. A girl should not have a car before they get married. Your girl should be, you should wait for your husband to lead the way. You wait to be married, and then you. And I never understood, and I of course didn't buy the car because I wanted to get married. But when I look back, I'm like, these are the things that we are saying to our girls, and we are destroying them. So you should not be ambitious to buy a house, even if you are still single at 30, because if you have a house, guys will be scared of you.
Yes.
And I've heard some of my women friends now telling girls who are single or driving very expensive cars, like this, guys can't come. You're scaring them off. I mean, what are we saying, Zah?
Eish. Now we must not buy cars because the guys will run away.
They will be scared. So, in other words, you are taught be timid, be agreeable, just be there waiting.
Yeah.
Like a Barbie doll for the guy to come and sweep you off your feet and be a mother, be a wife. And it's as if that's our job description, which is very wrong. So the family definitely is responsible for some of the troubles our girls are going through.
Yeah. So how then do we fix that? And I'm also thinking that for those parents that actually encourage their children to strive for more, you know, to reach for the skies, sometimes I feel like there's a thin line between telling your daughter to be assertive and propping them up to be rude and mean. And
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, because we're like, you know, you are this, you are worthy, you deserve, you do 1, 2, 3, 4. A person or a guy or a boy should not treat you like this. You deserve 1, 2, 3, 4. I feel sometimes there is a thin line between telling my daughter, baby girl, you deserve the most. If you want love, you look at how your dad is doing it, for example, than me to tell my daughter, Lalela, do not settle for less. And I'm like, how do we then now?
Where are we going?
Where do we strike the balance between those two? Because I believe some of the things we see other children doing outside, the girl children, maybe somehow the parents was encouraging them to be good. And in turn, it's going to be them being rude and mean. I don't know.
You are very right that we seem to have like two extremes. The parents who are grooming a wife.
Yeah.
This Barbie doll wife who should just look beautiful, be ready to be shown off by the husband, grooming her to be a mother. And then there is another segment of families who are grooming CEOs and leaders. And like you said, Zah, what we need is a balance.
Yeah.
It's not very easy to strike that balance, but I think as children of God, it's easier for us to strike the balance. Because in the kingdom of God, he who wants to be first should be last. And he who wants to lead should learn to be a servant. So in the kingdom of God, we are taught that there is servant leadership. Being a leader does not mean that you trample on those that are under you. So as we are raising our girls and we are focusing on their intellect and we are telling them, you can do this.
Yeah.
You can do this. You can be an engineer. It's not only guys who can be engineers. You can be a pilot. It's not only guys who can be a pilot. As we are grooming them to be leaders, you can be a CEO. You can be a president. As we are encourage them to get involved in community engagement, we also have to ensure that as we are building these qualities, we are also building them in the context of being Christ-like.
Yeah.
Christ was the greatest leader of all time. But you don't hear anywhere where he abused those whom he led. Where he took advantage of those whom he led. Where he exhibited pride and arrogance.
Yeah.
Because he was controlled by the Spirit, even as he was leading.
Yeah.
So that I would say, for me to help my daughter grow, achieve a full potential, and remain humble and teachable, I, as the parent, have to know what that looks like. And I have to serve as a role model. Then it's easier for my daughter to say, my mom is a CEO, but the way she relates with her juniors I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom is taking some, she baked some cakes to take to the office for juniors. Yeah, my mom's juniors come home and I've seen my mom's juniors cry on their shoulder. So if we don't model it and we just say it, we will not achieve that which we are trying to set forth with the girls.
True.
But you are very right. Balance is maybe the biggest challenge we have.
Yeah.
We have one extreme where we are saying, look beautiful, act beautiful, look thin, look slim, be attractive, attract the most happening guy out there and be a wife.
Yeah.
And then there's another side which is saying, go for it. You're a CEO, you're an engineer, you are this. What happens to blending humility and success? That's where we are missing it.
So when we're looking at, because we're looking at the societal, hey, English.
English, it's English, it's not Zulu.
Influences, right? Mm-hmm. And I believe that almost all of them, they come back to the home. How do we now as parents fix that? So now I want us to look at the issue of school. This is where our children spend most of their time. This is where they get to make friends. Either they progress with them when they're older, or but that's it. That's where they get to get bullied. That is when they get to have their first crushes. That's like a lot of things are happening in the school, you know, let alone what they're teaching. Here in South Africa, we're having a huge debate about the sexual education that they want to introduce. The whole asexuality kind of studies that they want to introduce, and it's the whole debate amongst all of us. But what kind of influence does the school have on the child? This is besides what they are being taught in the class. But everything else that happened, that whole 6 hours that they are there, 6 hours, things are happening. So what influences are there? What should we look out to? And when they come back at home, what is that us as parents are ought to do?
I will have a bias as I respond to this question, because I just want to emphasize that point, that before we blame the school, every parent needs to know their values.
Yes.
And there is a school for every child. You look for a school according to the values that you want your child to embrace or to develop. There are parents whose focus is this a group A school? Will my child ace her grades? Will my child end up in America or in the UK? Will my child end up at such a university? If your focus as a parent is academic, intellectual excellence, it means you're sacrificing everything else and you're going for the academic excellence.
Yes.
So when your child comes back drinking, when your child comes back with a pregnancy, it's unfair for you to blame the school when you knew, even as you're sending your child there, that the focus, the mission of that institution is academic excellence. What am I saying, Zah? This is where Adventist schools come in. I'm not saying Adventist schools are free of all these evils. No. At Adventist schools, you still find children who drink, who do drugs, who do sex, who bully. But the mission of Adventist schools, if run according to Adventist principles, they include prayer, very regular prayer.
Yeah.
They include very regular devotions. They include very regular reading of the Bible. So when I send my child to an Adventist school, and I know my child might not make it to Harvard, they might not make it to Yale, they might not make it to, but my value, which I would like to develop my child, is good morals. I will have intentionally aligned my child with a school that upholds the values that I think are important. So I personally do not blame schools where bullying goes unchecked. I always want to check what's the mission statement for that school.
Yeah.
Yes. What's their vision? If Christianity is not part of it, if morality is not part of it, if good behavior is not part of it, then I'm expecting oranges from a banana plant.
True.
You get my point. Each school has its focus. Zah, there are some schools whose focus is just academic excellence, and they drive it, and they are known for that. And then we have children who come up LGBTQ there. It's not their problem. It's not their mission. It's not their vision. And we should not hold them responsible. So basically, I think as parents are sending their children to schools, let them ask themselves, what's the vision statement for that school?
Yes.
What's the mission statement for that school? What's the focus for that school? What's that school known for? And what do I want of my children when they go to school? I have a right to go to an Adventist school and lodge a complaint that I brought my child here because I followed your moral standards.
Yes.
But how come my child is drinking? How come my child has become a drug addict? I can face them, and I can give them a task because I would have taken my child there because of their values. So in short, all I'm saying is each school has its own mission, its own vision.
True.
And they are focused on that. What happens outside of that, we should not really hold them accountable. So it's up to us parents to choose which school we are sending our children to, not because it's close to home, not because it's cheap, not because that's where everybody around us is going. No, we have to intentionally decide, why am I sending my child to the school that I'm sending to?
Yeah.
And when the consequences manifest, I should be able to say, I mismatched my child with the school. Schools have the potential to destroy, but they also have the potential to build.
True. That is true. I think that is something that we ought to consider as well, because sometimes we, when we're looking for a school, we just like, okay, this one is closer, they can walk, or okay, no, this one has produced so and so results, and then it's fine. But then we don't look at their values, we don't look at their track record, re-bullying, for example, because that one is a big thing, for example, in here in South Africa, bullying. Will my child be okay? Will they integrate with all the whole issue of race? Will they be okay? Will they not be okay? Sometimes we do not look at that. But I'm so thankful that you have raised that with us, Sister Eli May. So I'm going to ask that you do pray for us and pray for the children as well, that they may understand that we're not hating them. We're not hating them.
No, that is so true. Shall we pray? Dear God, we pray for our young children. They are growing in a very tough time. They are bombarded with negative influences from family, from society, even at the shopping mall, at school, media, it's everywhere. They just need the Holy Spirit to help them to make the wise decisions. And it is my prayer that if there's a young person listening to this platform, may they remember that God loves them so much, that they can call upon God to give them power to say no to whatever it is that they should not be doing. And if there are any parents listening to this program, may they not put their children in the line of danger, but may they match their children with schools that will prepare them for eternity and help them to navigate the challenges of life. Thank you for this program. May it help a soul somewhere find salvation. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Sister Eli May, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for speaking to us. I pray that as we continue to have this, God's girls are going to come out shining. And us as parents as well, we're going to like, God, I did it. When we look at our children, like, I did it.
And
I heard Sister Eli May say this. I applied it. And look at this, God. We do thank you. So thank you so much, Sister Eli May. May you have yourself a blessed, blessed day.
Great day to you too. Bye-bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.